Hello, this is my Lenten diary for March the 23rd, 2022. Today is Wednesday in the third week of Lent. This is an editorial note. Due to an error on my part, I had actually skipped ahead to Luke chapter 9. And so the previous 2 days' reflections have been from Luke 9, not Luke 8, as reported in those recordings. And so I apologize for any confusion, but in order to stay on schedule, I'm backtracking for today and tomorrow to really Luke chapter 8, verses 1 through 25. I apologize for confusion and or inconvenience. This is a reflection drawn from Luke chapter 8, verses 1 through 25. In this chapter, we receive what may be the preeminent, or at least the best known, of Jesus' parables, the parable of the sower and the seed. This parable is present in all three of the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And it has some really familiar elements, even for those of us who aren't gardeners. The sower goes out to sow, flinging seed. And the wind carries the seed, and gravity draws the seed, and the seed winds up on or in four different soils. Falls on a path and is carried away by birds. Falls on rocky soil and springs up quickly, but because there's no way to put down roots, the tender plants are scorched by the sun. The third seed is scattered amongst thorns, and when it comes up, eventually the thorns and brambles choke it out. Finally, there is seed that falls on good soil, is able to take root, get proper nourishment, and it produces an abundance of fruit. We all know this story. And when the disciples heard it, and the crowds heard it, the disciples keep pestering Jesus to say, what does the story mean? And while we know the story, and we think we know it, what it means, I think today Luke's version of the telling gives us something new to think about. So, here is Jesus' interpretation of the parable to his disciples according to Luke. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. The ones on the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. The ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe only for a while, and in a time of testing fall away. As for what fell among the thorns, these are the ones who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. But as for that in the good soil, these are the ones who, when they hear the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patient endurance. I wonder where we see ourselves in these four different sorts of soils. What I know we can get into here is whether or not we have any agency. The soil can only be the soil. The conditions can only be the conditions. And so to allegorically apply this to the human heart and the human will, well, that can be problematic if we take the allegory too far. But what I want to focus on is not the ways in which we fail to produce fruit, but the ways in which we become fruitful. And that is in the fourth matter of the good soil. Let me repeat verse 15 in chapter 8. But as for that in the good soil, these are the ones who, when they hear the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patient endurance. Patient endurance. It seems to me that that's a part of successfully navigating Lent, and that's a part of learning about the spiritual life, and that's the part that's hard. We do not live in a patient society, and we do not live in a society that tends to value stick-with-it-ness, which is what endurance is all about. The work of letting the Word of God take root in our hearts is a lifelong work. We are not where we want to be, most of us, in our spiritual walk, and sometimes we neglect to give thanks for how far we've come. We are not patient with ourselves. We are not patient with others. And yet, to hold to the Word, the good news of the kingdom of God, to hold that closely, to be open to its work in our hearts, to be patient, to endure, to practice stick-to-itiveness, that's the key to the beginning of the spiritual life. And it's very difficult for us because we're so easily distracted from the call of God. Certainly, there are things that we can attend to. There are ways and practices in which we can become more open to the seed of God's Word falling fruitfully in our hearts. But it seems to me that the place we can begin is by maybe examining where are the places in our spiritual life that have grown hardened, like that path, where no good news can penetrate because we're just convinced that the world is a rotten place and we're perpetually miserable. And so even the good news of God's Word falls to a place where it can't take root. The devil doesn't have to steal it. We don't even allow the Word of God to penetrate us. The second soil where we don't have any kind of depth, we just take things at face value. I like to think that one of the places we can get into trouble here is when we, by either practice or inattention, begin to think that the sum total of living the spiritual life is whether or not we go to church. And so our depth is as deep as our most recent visit to worship. And it seems to me that the spiritual life is a more time-consuming effort than that, for us to be open and attentive to how we might move the rocks out of the way and allow more time for God. And then I think we could probably all relate to having our good intentions for a more intentional walk with God, having our good intentions choked out by the worries and the pleasures, the distractions of our lives. But yet, to return to this fourth option, I believe that the key to fruitfulness is openness to receiving God's Word, holding it even when we don't know how it's going to take root or bear fruit, and then cultivating within ourselves a life of patient stick-to-itiveness. Maybe that's a place to focus our prayers today, is to ask the good Lord, the sower of the seed, to create in us good soil to receive the promises of the kingdom of God. Let us pray. Lord of all power and might, the author and giver of all good things, graft in our hearts the love of your name, increase in us true religion, nourish us with all goodness, and bring forth in us the fruit of good works, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.